Shemya recorded the highest tidal amplitude in Alaska at 5.2 feet. Farther south, some cities experienced even higher water. Port Orford, Oregon recorded 6.1 feet, and Crescent City, California, which experienced major flooding following the 1964 Alaskan quake, recorded a tidal amplitude of 8.2 feet. A tsunami of 3 feet or less was predicted to arrive in Sitka this morning at 4:25 a.m. Brian Bach was aboard his 24-foot sailboat in Sitka's Eliason Harbor at the time. He said the initial arrival of the tsunami was anticlimactic.
3-foot swell doesn't seem, or less, doesn't seem like it would be anything that would even be measurable. But right at 4:30, I did feel just a little ripple come through the harbor. It was just enough to kind of move the boat around a little bit. That was about it.
Bach says there was no sense of urgency to leave the harbors. Things were pretty quiet, as usual. But he says many people may have thought the first movement of the water was just a big boat going by. Things became more interesting in Sitka later in the morning. Shortly after 7 a.m., there was a pronounced tide race under the O'Connell Bridge. The Sitka Fire Department notified KCAW that they had measured about a 3-foot fluctuation in the water level in the harbor. Steve Warren keeps his boat tied near the entrance of Sealing Cove Harbor. He says the tide was flipping every 20 minutes or so, rising and falling about 2 feet. He was watching debris in the water shortly after 11 a.m.
Things were flying by instead of gently drifting by like they usually do even at big tides there. And as I watched, I called my wife over and said, take a look at this. It reversed as we watched it, and all the things that had just come flying in past us went shooting back out the entrance, so within just a matter of a minute or so.
The official size of the tsunami in Sitka was 2.8 feet. Warren says he spoke with a friend who routinely delivers supplies to Bjorka Island. The friend told him that the small harbor where he docked completely dried out in the few minutes he spent deciding to enter it. He later moored safely outside the harbor. Many Sitkans were advised of the event by the Sitka Police Department's new Code Red call burst system. Police Chief Sheldon Schmidt says the system proved to be functional at a high level with a 90% completion rate. But the calls were not particularly timely. KCAW, which is located on the downtown waterfront, received a code red call at about 4:10 a.m. That's 15 minutes before the expected arrival of the tsunami. Others reported receiving the call as late as 4:20. Schmidt says the time between the decision to issue an advisory over code red and the time the calls went out was late and will be fixed next time. He stresses that this morning's message was advisory and based on the efforts of emergency officials to assess the situation as it developed overnight. Fire Chief Dave Miller was parked much of the night in the lot behind the cable house. In an interview at 5:30 this morning, he confirmed that officials were keeping a close eye on things.
As far as we're concerned at the fire department, I mean, we had, I don't know, 8 or 9 people there all night, watching everything that was happening on TV, reading every, you know, text and everything that came across. Trying to keep up with where everything was at. We discussed it, kept in contact with the city administrator and the mayor, and updated them a couple times when they got back into town about what was happening and what we planned to do. And when we went to do the call bursting to the community, we contacted both of them, told them what we were going to do, and they both agreed that it was something that should be done.
Along with the Code Red announcement, officials authorized a voluntary evacuation of low-lying areas and harbors in Sitka. Emergency shelters were open all night at Keith Gushaheen Elementary School and Sitka High School. Annabelle Lund, a spokeswoman for the Sitka Red Cross, said the shelter housed about 45 people, mainly residents of the harbors and the Catlian Street neighborhood, and entertained them with snacks, hot drinks, and TV.